This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol. The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
We all are out there with the nice wind and got everything glued down, nailed down, and stuck down or tied down. But that's the Sunday morning cleansing. Every once in a while, a good wind blows through here, and we don't realize that we produce as much pollution as any other big city, but it's just the trade winds blow it away, and so we get to see the crispy mountains and the nice, perfect clouds. But we belch and put out as much pollution because we use fossil fuel cars, and so don't be fooled, but it sure makes for a beautiful day. And I guess the people on the other side of the pond gets our pollutants. Anyway, so today we're going to talk about everything you'd like to talk about, but we're not going to talk about politics, we're not going to talk about money, we're not going to talk about corruption, we're not going to talk about sex, we're not going to talk about education, not going to talk about crooked politicians and religion or anything of that. So feel free to call in and talk about things other than that. Well, I thought I'd just mention that it sounds like the FCC. I've been reading quite a bit and listening in various places, and it sounds like we are being threatened with, not particularly this station or any one specific, but the entire free speech community, which that represents all of us, is threatened with something. I don't know if they want a container, so what, but that's what's happening. So anyway, if you'd like to call in, 524-1080, and I'm going to be talking and touching on a number of subjects that I've already talked about. And I see there's some of you calling now. I don't know. Well, I would like to say good morning before I get on the phone with you. But anyway, there are a couple of things that unfolding or developing. As you know, let's take, for example, the situation with Mike Wilson, Judge Mike Wilson. I want to share a little something with you, and you know my stance and mindset on Clayton Hee. I think it's well overdue that we need to send him, and you people out there in Haleiwa and those areas, you're responsible for his arrogance, his highness or his arrogance. But Judge Mike Wilson is up for appointment to the Supreme Court. And I know of him, and I know that he is not equitable, he is not fair. I just give you, and I'm careful to mention this one particular aspect of his, but there was competition when he was the Director of Land and Natural Resources, the chairman. Position came open to for the Doe Care Enforcement Chief, and I just so happened to put in for that job and was ranked number one. But Mike Wilson, in his, I don't know what you would call it, and this is also on the Cayetano. Now, Cayetano gave us Mike Wilson, so that's why I'm a little surprised when I see Cayetano championing himself as the people's man. But this situation with Wilson, there's a number of things about him. I won't go into details, but one of those was that he decided, after the process of selecting people, he decided, well, he wouldn't fill the position. He would leave the party that was in acting in because he wanted to go to the mainland and look for better qualified people, which is his prerogative, but that wasn't the process. So moving on, another situation during his tenure as chairman, I got a call in some of my efforts to, from some anonymous sources that were working with the Miss Universe pageant, and the information was that Mike Wilson had actually gotten too close on a couple of occasions in different venues. And one was at the Nike store, and one was at the Hard Rock Cafe, and a couple other places, and made the Miss Trinidad and Tobago pageant competitor, or what would you contestant, uncomfortable. So her chaperone and others complained to the police and the security, and they actually confronted Mr. Wilson. And they basically, nothing happened, but the officers that called me, and I wish they, now and today, I wish they would give me their names. We would be a little better off. But anyway, I went to Boise Carrera, who was then the deputy, I guess, and I spoke with him, and he confirmed that these things happened, but he didn't want to do a formal statement, and no reports were written. So today, this gentleman, Mr. Wilson, is going up for the Supreme Court, State Supreme Court. And basically, there are no records. How you like that? But I believe that Clayton Hee should subpoena Boise Carrera, and I don't believe Boise will lie about the incidents. We know that Boise at that time was the administrator. But at that time, no formal complaint or report was done. And that's the long story of that, and won't go into any other details. And that I want to be as accurate as possible. But this is the types of people that we are elevating to the judiciary system. And we, well, 2 weeks ago we talked about the judiciary. And there's some questions about many of the parties that are serving in that capacity. I know it's the judge and it's supposed to be upstanding and for me picking at the system. But anything can run afoul of the law or the goodwill of society. So anyway, that's one of those things that I wanted to share with you. And I see that, and I submitted that, by the way, so none of you think that this is just chicken manure. I actually submitted that, what I've shared with you, in writing to the Senate committee hearing just yesterday. So I heard them say nothing swayed them into changing their stance, and they still support him. But ultimately, the parties that will be affected is you and others out there. So just know that that happened. And, you know, we also had, and I'll be talking about Lala Milo housing development on the Big Island again. And the reason is, I think it's important. I don't want to come in here in studio and tell you something and rant about it and no follow-up. That's easy to do. And so those of you that are sick and tired of hearing repetitive behavior or witnessing that, then I do apologize. And you can go down the dial and come back and visit us when you think there's new material. But this is actually new material. It demonstrates how the failures, in our government, in our state government, in our city government. This is why I keep harping on many of these subjects. Though they may seem repetitive, as I've said, they have a common theme. Not only would I be repetitive in communicating or talking about them, but the behavior out there that we notice. You take, for example, Mayor Caldwell. Just recently, he was in the news talking about the $10 fee that he'd like to assess the public. Now, if you remember, if you wanted that extra day, at first it was serving 2 days, and then if you wanted an extra day, you could pay $10, get an orange sticker on your gray can. And some people elected to do that. And my concerns with that and with it's nothing more than another tax. They call it a fee. But the reality is it demonstrates the inability of this gentleman, Mr. Kirk Caldwell, to really manage and to be forthright in protecting the interests of all parties, all citizens. For example, just yesterday or Friday, I get a call and I'm told that the front-end loaders in Pearl City are completely broken down. So there's only one that was serviceable that could be used. So they dispatched it, as usual, to the Middle Street Yard, to the Pearl City Yard, to work some of its routes. Now, the mayor, as you remember, a couple months ago, we brought you a story where the mayor, under his administration, was hiring contract haulers to pick up the trash while our trucks were broken. And then we were paying the men extra to sit in the trucks with the contract hauler to show them or direct them around to the routes. So that's costing money, you see. That's money if it was efficiently managed. The mayor was an efficient manager. He would have Lori Kahikina to fix that. But instead, no fix, just suck up the blood, the money of the people. And when you think you want to waste more, you go and ask for more. So you figure if the mayor really wanted to resolve some of these issues and save money, he wouldn't have to tax. Let's take, for example, the bulky item pick up. You know, there was this big debate about the bulky item, and they even hired inspectors. And if you know that, that really never got off the ground, and when it did, it presented problems. But here's the real problem, and the mayor could save some money if he, and he wouldn't have to tax the people another $10 so that he could then turn around and waste it too. The mayor could actually fire this, that, I guess it was seven, it may have been more, you just never can't trust anything they tell you, but I know it was approximately seven and plus inspectors that were to go around and inspect and just monitor for people who would be putting out trash early, bulky items. What happened to that campaign or that program, the bulky item and the citations? Well, many of those people are sitting around doing not much of anything or doing things that they weren't hired for originally, because they were hired for originally as inspectors. So, Mayor Caldwell, if you really want to save some money and you want to put some money in your coffers, maybe you could fire those people, and then maybe you could really have your truckers to monitor people. They service the routes anyway, and if they, the automated or the front end loaders, so if in their routes of following around and picking up, and if they witness, they know better than anybody, the drivers that service these routes, radio it in to Suzanne Jones, some of those people living in the Eiffel Tower over there, or the Ivory Tower, making money hand over fist, but really out on the streets, the guys are working, they're getting some money, but the public is being charged and taxed again and proposed new taxes. So radio that site in, telling them that here's some bulky items that are put out prior to the date that is scheduled, because they know the sectors and they know all of that. So we could save money from paying the inspectors. We can save their insurance and medical and vacation. We could save all of that. And then, Mr. Mayor, if you really, really wanted to manage and be more efficient and not screw the taxpayer yet another time through nickel and diming them, you could simply, rather than giving free service to the condominiums which these front-end loaders service, as we've pointed out, Mr. Mayor, you could actually charge them a fee, these condominiums, and the townhomes, and the private lock-gated communities that you service for free. They, too, could be charged because, and the beauty of this one is most of the condominiums have an association, and most of the tenants in those, or lessees or owners in those communities, are charged for trash service anyway in their association fees. So, in other words, the political play is he don't want to disrupt that. So to be political, he make all of us, he proposes that all of us pay. And so others get free. And Mr. Mayor, there's a thing called the eleemosynary that you know about, where companies, individuals, organizations, churches, private schools get to dump their trash at the landfill, at the H Power, for free. Now, I believe that if you really wanted to save money and if you were an efficient manager, as you tout yourself to be and present yourself, as you want us to wake up in the morning and go, oh my God, don't we feel so comfortable? We got Kurt Caldwell running things for us. What a really a warm, cuddly feeling. But the reality is, if you knew like I knew, so much is being squandered as far as cost and nickel and diming the public and what have you. So we could do a lot better with a lot less, believe it or not. And when we look at the efficiency of our maintenance in the yards of the truck service with the city, there is no efficiency. And I'm working on a couple of things right now with the Road and Highways Division, road maintenance in the city. And if everything comes together, you'll be astounded and shocked at what is being disclosed. You know, so I think that while we may interpret this behavior, and he want to leave us with the impression, he being the mayor, want to leave us with the impression that he's a good manager, I would submit that any time you have to nickel and dime the taxpayer for pennies, $10 at the trash can, you're nothing of a manager. You're not efficient. You don't have the ability. You're just piling on a system, a people that is already taxed and feed to death. And so your tactics is to, or are to, employ these kinds of things, and you nickel and dime. And that's just cheap shot. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Well, I guess we missed that one. Well, anyway. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yes, about the trash.
Hi, Em.
Hi, how you doing, Mr. Cobb?
I'm fine. You doing okay?
Yes, I'm doing okay. How's Celeste doing?
Well, unfortunately, Celeste passed.
Oh, she did? When did it happen?
About a month ago.
A month ago. Oh, I was thinking so much of her.
Yeah,
she was our neighbor. She was such a sweet girl.
We do. She is, and the family's doing okay, so.
Oh.
We do miss her.
Well, about a month ago, I almost passed, but I pulled through.
Well, good.
We're taking it easy around here.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good news to lose two friends.
You can say that again.
So.
Anyway, about the trash. You know, about the trash, people throw good things out, and
mm-hmm.
other people come and pick it up,
mm-hmm.
and they use it, and they take it to the swap meet. Everybody's managing everybody around here.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get together.
Mm-hmm.
You have something good, put a tarp over it. They'll come by and they'll pick it up. If they leave a little mess, no worry. Sweep them up
mm-hmm.
and everything, because we have to work together
mm-hmm.
in this island. And about the bulky, that's very good. Everybody's cleaning up their place.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to suggest in today's conversation that the mayor, with efficiency, could, you know, our convenience centers or designate an area where you can actually take things that have a value that's still usable.
Yes.
And like farmers markets or what have you.
Yes.
People can come and make exchanges.
That's right.
We're not thinking in that fashion.
Yeah, we will be. They are thinking, because they are people who come and pick up all the stoves, the private guys, and pick up all the heavy metal.
Mm-hmm.
Really doing a service for us, and I really appreciate these guys coming by. If the city cannot come and do it, they go along and they pick it all up, all volunteer. They go make their little dollars,
yeah.
and they're happy.
Well,
like the bottles.
And that's okay. There's a couple downsides to that, Em. For example, the ones that pick up the refrigerators, or let's say pick up the microwaves, or that pick up the anything with refrigerated gas.
Yes.
And here's what they do.
Oh.
They go and they vent that. And they,
I know what you're talking
and
about.
And they cut the hoses and wires and leak the oil on the ground. And
yeah,
so
that part we have to be careful.
And if there's actually companies yeah. that are set up to recycle that part. But you're right. We should encourage the people by, you know, if let's say I have a toaster or a microwave that actually work, or a TV.
Well, put a tarp over so the rain won't get at it, and they can come and pick it up and
mm-hmm. or something, and encourage that.
And
kind
they are
of behavior.
Doing that
yeah.
also, and I do that myself. Even when I walk down the street, I say, "Oh, I need that." I take it and I bring it home, And that's it. Before, oh, if you do that, they call you a rubbish picker.
Mm-hmm.
Now they call us the thrifty people. The pickers. We're the pickers.
Yeah.
Either you use it or you make money out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then everybody's getting along real good. Thank you for taking my things.
Yeah, and people can use it. It's a reality.
Yeah, and they can sell it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just, with our bulky, we're just learning our new strategy of life, like learning how to play baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so sorry. Condolences to the family of Celeste.
Alrighty.
Was his name, the son and the daughter, Jill, and all of them. Oh, I'm so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get to go to the funeral?
No, I did not, but I just saw Jill the other day. I stopped in and chat with her. They're doing good.
Where is she buried, do you know?
Nanakuli is where they spread.
Because I wanted to put a lay on her grave. Mm-hmm. I also lost my husband.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
April, this will be 2 years. It was kind of hard for us, but we were getting over it.
Mm-hmm.
You can never get over things like that.
Well, I thought you had decided to pack up and move to Chicago.
No. I've never been to the main. I'd like to see Mississippi.
Really?
Yes, but maybe someday I'll get to go and see Mississippi.
Well, it's a nice place.
Oh, cool.
And not as others say, it's a nice place to be far from, you know. No,
the different things. I'm a TV traveler right now.
Oh, so you get to see all the alligator and the all of that.
Well, we do.
There's a lot more to it than that, but that is, it's some really beautiful places in Mississippi.
Oh.
Absolutely, you know.
Wonderful.
A lot of flat, and if you got to see the Mississippi River and the backwaters, you'd be impressed.
That's all I heard about when I was a little kid. How do you spell Mississippi? So that's how we learned how to spell. The first word that we learned to spell here in Hawaii was Mississippi.
Ah, and
little kids used to say Mississippi. And we used to have so much fun.
Yeah, and when you run out of things, you grow up with no toys, it's MISSI, crooked letter I.
Oh, I didn't know that, but Mississippi is a famous place here in Hawaii for spelling.
Yeah, and if you know, a great many men that served in the military actually went to Camp Shelby and in Mississippi, and you'd be amazed at how many Hawaiian people that hail from Hawaii that have moved to Mississippi.
Well, they've heard so much about how to spell Mississippi. That's the first words we learned was, how do you spell Mississippi?
Yeah.
Live here all my life. I've never been to the mainland, only to the island of Kauai twice.
Ah, well, I hope you can make it.
Someday I will.
Well, really, I think you'd be rewarded.
That would be nice.
And the best time to go, I would suggest, right before, after summer, right before it's any frost hit, or if you get some frost, and the birds, many of the birds are migrating back down.
Whoa.
And so you get to see, especially if you're on the backwaters, you get to see a great many of birds that you generally wouldn't see.
Do you plan to go back someday?
Oh, I go back on occasion to go down and photograph birds. And in fact, I was going to put up on my Facebook, carolcox.com.
I'll look at your Facebook.
And put some birds up there that I went down a couple years back and photographed. And after just stunning, and the leaves. Now, you know, Michigan has beautiful leaves on the trees, and right?
Different colors.
But you should see when a lot of the hardwoods and what have you start to defoliate. I mean, brilliant. Just golds and browns and yellows.
Like looking at the sunset, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, in Mississippi, you do get nice sunsets, but if you catch that autumn change of leaves.
Colors of leaves.
It's beautiful.
There was a guy who lived up here at the end of our street, and he had trees with all different leaves, and it says, and like in Palisades, some people are planting or somebody's planting, and the trees are all different colors. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Isn't that something? It's
mm-hmm.
all over the world.
Yeah.
Well, back to business.
Well, thank you, Em, and good hearing from you.
Yeah, I listen to you every Saturday.
Sunday.
Sunday, and I'll be tuning in.
And just know you can get us also on the internet at carolcox.com. It's live, too, if you ever...
Oh, yeah? Oh, I will be...
If you do make it to the mainland and need to listen to... You can listen to live and actually call in and tell us. I'm sure you're going to make
that trip. I did see one time, and I heard my voice, and I said, oh, no, I'm not going to call anymore. I'm shamed. But this is what it is, so...
Yeah. Well, anyway, well, thank you. And I will post up some pictures just for the sake of it. And you see the red shafted flicker.
Oh,
and the
I'll be looking forward to your Facebook.
The cedar waxwing. I mean, you're talking about beautiful.
You
know, you see some parrots and lorikeets that are
beautiful. Oh, that sounds exciting.
But Mississippi has its share of warblers and tanagers that fly through there on the way down to Mexico for the wintering grounds. And then the robins. They're just absolutely stunning.
I'll be looking forward to seeing that because I saw you in person and you're a handsome guy.
Well, no, don't say that.
Oh, yes. That's him. I didn't know you're so young and good looking.
I'm going to have to go get a bigger hat now.
Well, that's okay. Just keep buying bigger hats, bigger clothes.
All righty.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Aloha.
Aloha.
Bye-bye. Anyway, thanks for calling. And so there is so much that why do I sit here and talk in the fashion that I do? Because everything needs a regulator. How do we get our message to an entity to say that don't tax us so much, so often, so frequent, that it becomes a burden? And here's a difficulty. When a person campaigns, let's say, not just Caldwell, but any of them, when they campaign, some of the basic mantra is, I'm against high taxes, I'm against this, and I'm against that, where it's going to impact financially the senior citizens or any citizen. And this is what they tell, and it's so easy to say that. But they cave in, they being the politicians, cave in, and while steering clear of taxes, there's a frequency and repeated effort on their part to stay away from raising taxes, but will increase fees, whether it's at the parking meter, whether it's at fees for your new car stickers and what have you. And there, that is the problem. So it's a slick way of getting around and say, well, I never raised any taxes. And so that is something at the end of the day or at the end of the year or come campaign time. We want to remind the politicians that, such as Caldwell and others, that you're correct, you didn't raise our taxes. But if we look back, we actually paid more in fees than we could have ever, because nobody would have the guts to raise taxes in that fashion or increase it to that amount. So it's really a tricky situation. And fees... This is what I've come to learn, in my opinion and my observation. They're synonymous with poor management. See, because you know you got to provide these services. You know you can't have the trash built up. But how can they determine that $10 from every household would be sufficient? So that means... that if they believe that $10, hopefully they've sat down and actually relied on an equation or some calculations that identified the problem, and they quantified it, and they realized that a $10 amount. But I don't believe it's that. I believe it's just willy-nilly attach these fees. And not really accurately or that's going to address the thing. I think it's more of a slush fund in the sense that because it's not earmarked for any specific thing, but they tell you that it's brought in and then they commingle it. And how do we monitor that money? So right here in Honolulu, the things that I have witnessed, I don't believe that we should be increasing fees on anything when you consider the service. And my bigger question is how much of these, quote, fees are to mask the inefficiency or ineffectiveness of government or these administrations? What are they really doing, you see, in our services? Talking about the bulky item situation, there's a practice here. So if the H power is down, for example, and not functioning, and they're diverting these trucks to the landfill. Well, the landfill, you can't take tires and dump them into the landfill. And so what happens is that the people make their routes, and they will most likely leave the tires on the side of the road or stacked up. So I was wondering, why do I see so many tires here and there in some of these communities? And there is part of the problem. So what we need is efficiency. We don't need to tax anybody again. We just need to start utilizing the manpower that we have, maybe rethink the contracts with the unions or whomever. But we need to start looking at that rather than avoiding that debate or that discussion or taking action in that area and just, we'll raise a fee. And I noticed that the city council did not buy that, but I'm wondering how long. Is there an election coming up? And maybe soon after the election, we'll be right back. I believe they will institute some kind of a fee somewhere, and you and I will be paying for it. So anyway, I'm going to take a little break here for a minute. I'm having a itchy throat here, and then we'll be right back.
Imposible, chica.
it's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Have to take a break there. Anyway, just rambling on today, and I got quite a few things in the on the burners cooking, and what we got here is I want to talk about the Lala Milo facility on the Big Island, and I'm more than likely going to the second hour with that as well. But in between, there was the Red Hill fuel tank area. And you know of the leaks we've shared with you and the documentation. And I first want to tell you that while I'm very appreciative that a hearing was held, Mike Gabbert convened a hearing along with Chris Lee. That hearing, I think we'll characterize it as a hearing, but I think we could have done without it. It didn't serve the purpose, because the Navy and the DOH and others were allowed to parade in and basically give a sales pitch. And this brings me to the political side of this. You know, there's politics in everything. And I was taken aback, because I've taken my time and efforts to get thousands of documents and present them to Chris Lee, Representative Chris Lee, and Mike Gabbert. And to be, in my honest opinion, I don't believe they read a single document. And the fashion in which they allowed the Navy to come in, and I didn't know that many Navy people had that much time on their hands to come in and parade and give such a dog and pony show and not be held accountable. Take, for example, now we know, we disclose and uncovered in the records, 1.3 million gallons of fuel oil that was spilled back in the 40s from that facility. And they're acknowledging this portion of the activities and incidences of the spills weren't included, and they admitted another 1.2 million somewhere in collectively. So the way the hearing, the results of the hearing, it was suggested that, well, we have 1.2 million gallons spilled, but right now we think there's 27,000 gallons from this recent spill, but we don't know where it is and how much it is. All we can see is a black spot on the cement wall, and we really don't know, but we have some calculations, but we don't have monitors and we don't really have measures to do this. So this is what was tolerated. So it further exacerbated and basically gave momentum to the big lie. I'm going to submit this to you. In Camp Lejeune, the Marine base that was in the news now, for many, many, many years, there was never an admission that there was any contaminants in the water, in the soil, or anything. So now, because of the later years now, they've concluded that it is there, and it has sickened hundreds, if not thousands, of people, and have been responsible for the death of many of those people that drank, ate, used that water, came in contact with it at Camp Lejeune. So apparently the new strategy on the part of the military, and you, in order to get this thing, this big lie told and avoid real scrutiny, you need a co-conspirator. That co-conspirator is the Department of Health. First of all, they're an inept bunch of people. They don't have the ability to do these things. They have one person looking at the USTs. It's an inadequate force, inadequately funded, and they're not motivated for the right reasons to even serve as a regulatory body. In every case, and you take, for example, the molasses. Before the molasses was even disclosed in its totality of its impact on its assessments, you had DOH standing there giving an explanation, suggesting that everything's okay and they're going to, the Matson's going to take care of it. Why is it that a regulatory body gets involved and have had reports of these contaminants spilled and all of that, and only when the public gets the information and learn of it, they don't take a proactive role, the DOH. They're not aggressive. What you end up looking at and finding in their documentation is a passive, almost a puppet. I look at them and I think, okay, what this I was hoping that this hearing wouldn't come off this way, but you've got Gary Gill and you got his staff to come in, and they gave a presentation. And I got the real nasty feeling that the Navy had their hand up Gary Gill's back of his shirt, and he was telling us what they wanted us to hear. Oh, everything's fine. When in fact, Gary doesn't have the ability to know, not just him personally, but the staff in which he relies on. They talk about the EALs. But in reality, that place is so disjointed. I just, 3 days before that so-called hearing, I received another CD filled with documents, and I'll share some of those with you. But how does the public, you have a hearing, how does, if it were not for me going into Gabbert and Chris Lee with that information and handing it to them, where would the public be? How would the public be informed by requesting that hearing? Where would we be? So I sat there and I told you about the politics. Now, I've said to you over the many years that I've had this show and coming on that we have grown into a death spiral, I should say, as far as politics. We've put our trust in the, and I'm not advocating for any party, so listen carefully if you care to listen. The Democrat regime that we see, the People's Party, is not the People's Party. It's a party of people, but it's not for the people in general. It's people that are selfish. They're Teflon. They're impervious to good feelings about other human beings. This Democratic Party that we see, they start off, they have no ethics. The real laws, they have no ethic laws that apply to them, number one. So let's start there. But the bigger problem is it took, and I want to be careful and not sound insulting, but it took Ms. Cynthia Thielen, who participated in that hearing, to ask the only hard-hitting questions, or probative questions. Mike Gabbert is, I thought maybe he was going to pull out his kazoo and says, yeah, we have the Navy, Chris Lee. You guys out there that sent Chris Lee in, if I was you, I would think again. Pretty boy Floyd. I mean, it's just, that's it. I mean, period. No hard-hitting questions, nothing. And then don't leave it to be or produce anything or to say, well, from this hearing, we're going to be submitting information so the public can see in what we found and fleshed out in this hearing. Didn't get that. So then you have Gary Gill sitting there going, everything's fine. How can everything be fine when you don't even know how much of oil or fluids leaked, a few leaked into the ground? The Navy doesn't know, so how can you? And we're going to talk about this. I pulled up some of the documents. And like I mentioned in Camp Lejeune, they claimed that it did not exist. There was no contaminants in the water for many, many years. Well, today's strategy is admit that there are some in there, but they are always below a certain level. Always, and remember now, these levels are based on modules and you know, they are not built on facts, specific facts. It's something, a model that they draw from, and estimates and what have you, risk assessments. They're not exact science. So they've come to terms and decided to, we'll admit that these contaminants are in there, but they're a minuscule amount. They don't rise above the level. When in fact, if you look, as I'm going to share with you, these records, I just got records here, and so the state health department claims that everything's okay, but they just discovered, if it's what they said is true, discovered these records well after these reports were made. So how can we rely on the reports if they're just still pulling up records that they didn't know existed or forgot them? So it's a big deal, and I'm going to share with you and talk about it at length, but I will submit this. Anyone out there, and by the way, we've been hammering on border water supply. Ernest Lau was the other party that's asked the hard-hitting questions. The health department, and in fact, I overheard Gary Gill a little bothered by the fact that Ernest Lau came in and made the statements that he did. Ernest Lau is not fully satisfied with what is going on. He has questions. But what about the DOH? So anyway, we'll come back, and I'll be back shortly and in the next hour. But feel free to call in at 524-1080, 524-1080. I'd like to hear from you.
This one's for you, Curtis. I love you.
Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
1080 on the AM dial.
Hotel, this is a heartbreak. Hotel, this is a heartbreak. Hotel, this is a
and your time. You didn't think to call me, but here I sit, trying not to cry, asking myself why you do this.
If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol. The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, and thanks for joining. 524-1080 is the number if you have some comments or remarks or want to share or concerns. 524-1080. You can pick us up at carol@carolcox.com. And for those of you who travel abroad or have some relatives that want to hear a little bit about what's, tell them to join us at carolcox.com podcast or stream live. Anyway, we're talking about government and many other issues, and I wanted to share with you one thing out there in Mililani. You heard me talk about the number of people and the mayor Caldwell wanting to give us a $10 assessment of fees and whatever. What I want to share with you real quickly is that just in Mililani now, they didn't, at Hanalani housing or condominium area, they didn't get their trash picked up. Why? Because the mayor and his staff can't keep the trucks running. So they have to pay overtime to, and they were running as late as 8 o'clock last night picking up trash. But that's overtime. So if you became more efficient and fix your trucks, you wouldn't need to pay overtime and you wouldn't have to tax the people $10 at the curb. So anyway, I got a couple of calls and we'll call a good morning. Go ahead.
Hello, Carol?
Yes.
Hi, this is Denise and David.
Yes, hi. How are you?
I'm being as helpless as possible. I just, and this is said with a positive mind, I'm done with the police here. I'm done with the government here. You know, you want to kill me and sprinkle crack cocaine over my body? Go right ahead. Good people know who I am, and they know that this government put me in a state of homelessness. kept me away from my family. Mm-hmm. You want to hide behind your desks, your doors, your badges? Go right ahead. The truth has already been told. Mm-hmm. They know exactly who every single one of you are.
Okay.
Do right by the people. Do right by them.
Okay.
I'm done starving. I'm done doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
So have they bothered you lately or had contact?
I went off. I went off on two of them, two motorcycle cops at the Why Not post office. I let them know I'm done. I'm tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, I still got two unsigned tickets mm-hmm. for the problems that this state caused me.
Mm-hmm. Have you tried to write letters to the chief of police?
No, I'm not writing letters.
Okay.
I'm done. A year of my life defending my good name mm-hmm. against that lying cop, Rob of Foe.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even show up in court. I got another one who puts marks on herself to cover her butt because they realized that when they took me in and had me locked up, that they finally got the restraining order, which was manufactured to rob me, to get me out of my mm-hmm. paid in full rental.
Mm-hmm.
They found out the day they put their hands on me, that document had been vacated. Mm-hmm. The cop done his job.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Positive. I'm positive this is what it is.
Okay.
They know it too.
All right, Denise.
Thank you, Carol.
All right, aloha. Bye-bye. Caller, go ahead. You have a comment or question? Caller? You have a comment or question? Anyway, if you call and you want to have comment, you have to be a little patient, so... Anyway, we were talking about the Red Hill fuel, and I guess I'm just the guy who wants to make noise anyway. If you want to leave with that opinion, that would be fine. But I guess a lot of this is self-serving in that I'm frustrated, and this is my way of taking the frustrations out. I'm not one of those people who passively sit by and just accept what is being fed. I try to do something. What that something is, I don't know. But let me just give you why you, the listener out there, not because you hear it on this show, but elements that raises concern. Now, they came in at the Red Hill hearing that was put on by Gabbard and what have you, and Chris Lee. This is a letter that I receive in these files that they claim in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks that they just discovered. But they'd already given everybody the files, supposedly. But because I read, I missed some of the documents, and I thought, well, there's a big puka or a hole here in some of this information. You're not being forthright. Oh, let us look. Oh, you know what? We found two boxes of records in archives that we didn't... Well, then how can you say you put together a report if you're missing three boxes and you just discover them after you've written a report and gave assurances to the media and everybody? So you can see the... But here's a letter to the written by the Navy in... We'll say July 2002. And they have a tendency of not dating. I notice that something's common with the government. The only thing you see when you see the date, you actually see a stamp when someone received it. But I don't know. Maybe they have a different role. They don't want to know what year it is. But this is to the Hawaii State Department of Health. Subject, confirmed release notification for release at Red Hill Tank Complex Fleet Industrial Supply Center. So in accordance with this, the suspected release were discovered. Releases, now back up. Not just one release. And please pay close attention to this one so you don't think that I'm nuts and just, have a bad attitude about everything. I want you to see, and maybe you can deduce for yourself, that something's wrong here, and don't trust what Gary Gill is coming in and parading and telling you. In accordance with gentlemen, it starts off. This is from the Navy to the DOH. In accordance with the subchapter, with subchapter 7, chapter 281, title 11 of the Hawaii Administrative Rules, and as discussed during the meetings at the State of Hawaii DOH on July 2, 2002, enclosure 1 is submitted. The suspected releases, now, not just one leak, suspected releases, suspected. So underscore that. We keep hearing, they give us assurances that nothing's wrong, but listening at the language in the initial phase, the suspected releases, plural, were discovered during a preliminary site investigation of the Red Hill Tank Complex. The final report should be completed shortly and will be forwarded to your office as soon as it is available. We are submitting a single confirmed release notification form for the entire Red Hill Tank Complex, even though previous notifications were made for suspected releases at Tank 6 and 16. See, they didn't talk about 6 and 16 much in the hearing. They told us about another tank that had a black spot on the wall, but they don't really know its origin. But everything is suspected, and they don't really know. This is because any response or remedial actions from now on will likely be directed at the complex as a whole instead of individual tanks. Now, let me just let you hear what I'm able to get firsthand, and these are the records that came after the fact. This is filled out. It's an Appendix 5B confirmed release notification form. John Santos Salvo, Lieutenant Commander, is a guy, Red Hill Tanks Complex. Source of release, Red Hill Tank Complex. Site investigation. Method of discovery. So they doing a site investigation. I don't know if they saw the oil or they missed some in the tank or what have you. Type of substance released. Unknown. So you come in and march and sit and tell Gabbard and Chris Lee and the public in a hearing that you can cock sure of yourself as to what it is, and only 27,000 gallons on this recent spill, but you know factually, you've written documents and filed reports, but you don't even know what was spilled, but you suspect many releases. So, the release impact, possible groundwater, okay? You know that it percolates. You know that. You know underneath is an aquifer. You know that. You know that you have doing samples of aquifer and through monitoring wells. You know that. But you say possible. So, unless you know that there is a strata that is impervious to all things percolating or moving forward or in a pathway. But it goes on, type of substance released, unknown again. Release impact, possible groundwater and soil. Migration pathways, unknown. Now, if you got monitoring wells underneath that facility, you would think the monitoring wells, as they came in and sat down and gave this candy-ass presentation, you see, and again, migration pathways is unknown. This is 2002 now, but for many releases. And so they go on, and this is what they do for you. Tank number one, 7 February 1, 2001, TPH lead. In a liquid form, TPH lead. January 1, 31st, TPH lead and acetone. January 29th, 2001. These are all 2001 for lead, acetone, and naphthalene. The 19th, TPH and lead. And it just goes on and on and on. And under items detected for both the core and liquid samples, the values in bold denote values exceeding tier 1 levels. In some cases, a liquid was found in the boring. In these cases, the liquid was sampled and tested. The results are shown in the liquid column. So, in the liquid column, is they're finding TPH, lead, lead again, in December 2000, TPH, October 1998, the 22nd, unknown hydrocarbons in xylene, and November 1, 2000, TPH, methylene chloride, toluene, and lead. And the liquid was lead. The 19th was lead of November 2000. Of March 2001, lead and TPH. So these people came in and assured you that everything was fine, and yet they didn't talk about this particular report. They mentioned one in 1998, but not a 2002, multiple reports. So, again, they fill out another 5B, Appendix 5B form, confirm release notification form regarding the Red Hill tank complex. Source of releases, Tank 6. And in this, and it says here that I got to go and read this because the way they write this, source of release, tank list tank sites, and it says 13 million gallons. So I'm going to assume they told us it was these tanks hold 12.5 million gallons, but this one says 13 million. So I'm going to assume that it's the tank, they're speaking in reference to the size of the tank and its capacity. The method of discovery and confirmation, inventory check. The type of substance that was released, JP5 fuel. Release impact, surface water, possible. Soil, possible. It shows that it impacted the soil. Migration pathway, unknown. And then they say the actions taken. Tank has been drained and taken out of service. So I just shared that little tidbit with you on that particular thing. But if you saw Gary Gill and Steve Chang, what they presented, you would think everything was as clean as a kitchen table in the hospital room. And I submit to you, you can do what you want to do. But if I was you, I would ask Gabbard, and I would ask my state. And that Johansson, for you people out there in IL, and that dude is reckless, man. He wrote up a press release for his little newsletter, and he drank the Kool-Aid, spit it out, drank it again. I know he's a young guy, but folks, if that's your representation out there in that valley and the Ever Plains and all of that and the IL and Pearl City, I'm going to tell you, you can either believe what they're telling you and what the DOH is telling you, or you could at least demand that they be more aggressive, more accountability, more timely, and implement and install monitoring devices quickly. And here's a an interesting point. I was there at the hearing, and I thought, you know, you don't want to just go off half-cocked and thinking that this is, someone's going to lie to you just because they get together, you know, and, you know, the old saying, you know when government is lying when you see the mouth moving. But we won't go there, and that's just for barroom talk. But the reality is, you see, the Navy has a deferment. A deferment, they're not required by law to have monitors in to detect spillage and leakage. Okay? Now, who in their right mind, first of all, would even do that when they know the major aquifers, and they know this now, it's not, they didn't learn it later, threat to the drinking water. First of all, who would know that, and the impact and the irreversible impact? You're going to always have that oil in the water, okay, in the groundwater, in the ground table, water table. So, but they have a deferment. So they're sitting there going, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and it's going to work, and we promise you, and we're going to look at it. First of all, the Navy and Gabbard and Lee and DOH should have said to the Navy, just to show good faith, immediately waive your rights to the deferment, because it's going to take how long? A year? 2 years? 3 years to get the deferment? And why wouldn't you want to put monitors in these tanks? You'd be accurate. You wouldn't have to fill out reports and say, we don't know how much leaked, we don't know what it leaked, but we know it leaked. You see how dumb this is? Caller, good morning. Thank you for calling. You have a comment or question?
Hey, Carol.
Yes, good morning.
Hey. Yeah, no, it's a travesty. It's unbelievable. I looked it up on Wikipedia, what the Red Hill Underground Fuel Storage Facility. I was wondering if you wanted to know what Wikipedia had.
Yeah.
About it.
Share with us.
It's kind of interesting. It says that, well, it's a fuel storage facility located under Pearl Harbor and operated by United States Navy. Red Hill facility is unique in that 20 vertical cylindrical tanks measuring 77 meters, 250 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
By 100 feet in diameter, are hollowed out of volcanic rock in a ridge, which we know already is Red Hill. And Red Hill construction was 1940, from 1943. So this thing is ancient.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad that you're watchdogging these guys, because, oh my God, it says that it's constructed by 3,000 workers. Facility remains secret from the public for many years until the end of World War II. Red Hill was designed historic civil engineer landmark,
mm-hmm,
by American Society of Civil Engineers. And the leaks, it tells about the leaks here. That's the last sentence, that February 2014, January, the estimates of fuel release or unaccounted for was 27,000 gallons.
Mm-hmm. And they don't know. This was just a dog and pony show. I insist in saying, repeating this, if you trust any of that, then we're going to definitely find ourselves later down the road with a cost that, and the impacts are irreversible. And in fact, I believe that the damage that is done right now, Gabbard didn't bother to extract from them the other concerns with the previous history of this, and Chris Lee. So I submit to the listeners out there, you might want to take an interest in this one. I think it was just to soothe your soul, to quieten down the chatter. The reality is there are contaminants in the ground out there.
Well, absolutely, obviously, even the town fool.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to also say thanks, because this is Jill, for that really nice lady sending her aloha for my mom.
Mm-hmm. That was M. She was your neighbor.
Oh, yeah, no, I was wondering who that was. I was going to ask you. Also, you know, I think that something about the landfill, that her idea that I've been thinking about, is a really good idea, to have some place for scavenging.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give you that song about the Makuau dump.
Right. Well, you and I have talked about this, where people should be. In fact, your mom and also, I remember an occasion we were talking about, where in other states they actually have a place where people can go and trade and give and leave. It makes sense, huh?
Yeah.
But $10 is more important.
Well, we can't leave them a six-pack now. It's a 12-pack.
Yeah.
Really, no. It's about that, the, you know, about the economics and how inefficient it is.
Yeah, yeah. So
I just thanks again and lots of love.
All righty. Aloha. Thank you. Well, again, folks, I with this Red Hill thing, I have to remind you that, and keep your eye now on this the landfill. We mentioned the landfill. Remember the medical ways, and remember Gary Gill standing on the hill as Moses, telling us that it was a 100-year flood. I was saying, damn, where's the ark at? Well, you know, if it's a 100-year flood. I'm sorry, that was a... But, you know, I'm thinking Gary's going to show up with two mosquitoes, two ants, two rats, two bugs, two something of everything, because he was standing there proclaiming it was a 100-year flood and an act of God when he knew it was a lie. He knew that that was a catastrophic failure and one of the cells up there that was the cause of the problem, and he knew and had records, and his people knew that that was medical waste was contained in that cell, and it was being dislodged in much of the other trash, and that while he's calling it storm water, the law states, and if he'd been the director, he would know that any time water hit the trash, then it becomes leachate. It's not storm water anymore. He knew all of these things. He knew that there were about 7 million gallons of water in that and posed a threat that it would break, and so that they were pumping it off earlier. He knew that. And then he also stood there and orchestrated with waste management, EPA, and all. And you know what's really sad? Why we should hold Governor Neil Abercrombie responsible for handing us this nonsense? Follow this now, and you'll see why I sound the way I do, because nonsense is nonsense, and I wish I could mask it and put perfume on it, but you know what it smells like. Let me tell you this. Gary Gill claims that he authorized the dumping of the medical waste and the allowing it to go into the ocean. There's some emails where he was in back and forth, and he claims that he authorized it. Okay? Well, he may have that authority, and that's good for him. No problem. He called on the people that he would rely on for advice and all. But here's a big problem. If Gary Gill knew that he was going to dump medical waste and sewage and sludge and other things, because other body parts, when there are autoclaves, get dumped up there, human parts and animals and you name it, wouldn't you think that he would, somewhere in his grand stance, he would have said, as Moses, but the little people, the ones that are going to be out there every evening recreating and swimming in this and paddling and coalina and the homeowners who are going to sunbathe and the guys who go spearfishing and the impact on the environment, wouldn't you think that if he knew he was going to authorize and he did authorize the release, Gary Gill would have notified the public so that they wouldn't have to guess what the brown water was. They wouldn't have to swim and go, oh, look, there's a hypodermic needle. Wow, look at that. Where did that come from? If you want to gauge Neil Abercrombie, this is what he has given us. And mind you, Ben Cayetano gave us the same thing, because remember, Gary Gill was around when Ben Cayetano appointed the other gentleman, the doctor, can't think of his name now, but Gary Gill was the deputy or the director of the environmental health or whatever his capacity is. Remember the Puuvaimomi housing mercury? Well, Gary Gill, if he had done his work, he would have known that his boss, Ben Cayetano, had money because they traded lands and they diverted the money and misused it and on something else. And in turn, right there at Pearl Harbor Pump House, Gary Gill knew, and he had all at his disposal and all of that, knew that it was the government who came in and cleaned out the pump house and the well, removed the mercury, and it's because it is a federal formerly used defense site. And then he knew, if he had read his records, and I'm sure he did, because the same people he was relying on to kick the people out of Puuvaimomi and arrested two boys that were 9 and 10 years old, for breaking in and destroying the doors when that was a lie. But Gary Gill allowed the people to be evicted from their homes, shut out, locked out, and treated like dogs. And you know, Hermina Morita and the other folks in the state house and the legislators called Gary Gill in, and they had a hearing, and they rewarded them with a proclamation of their good work. Blake O'Shea was also at the helm of that when he served as a... So it's just strikes me as being very strange that anything that's broken in the environment, in major instances or incidences, Gary Gill has been involved, and he's a guy who's at the helm handling it and resolving and bringing resolution. So, unfortunately, I just wish somewhere down the line that rather than having an excuse of firing Gill and these other guys, that someone go to jail for the Wamanalo Gulch landfill debacle. Because only an insensitive, inhumane person would stand and orchestrate such a lie and have no conscience, no good conscience, no sensitivity. I would be embarrassed to claim that, oh, I authorize all this to be dumped in the water, but did you tell the people that who will recreate and paddle and frequent that and be waiting and coming in contact with it that you're going to do this? You got to be as cold as steel. You got to be one of the most cold-hearted people you could ever meet, because you're serving the wrong people. You're serving the government, which is supposedly the people, and you lie to them. And then you run to this hearing and you lie to them and you tell them, and these EALs. But the truth is going to be had out here on this whole process, I believe. But you have to ask, how could a man on behalf of a company say that he in turn authorized the dumping of medical waste and he didn't have the presence of mind of a good heart to at least notify the people in Nanakuli, the kayakers, the divers, the surfers, and all of that? And if you, we still have video of all that, the water being chocolate. And we have videos that you can go to carolcox.com and Google some of the medical waste. So this is no joke, folks, and I'm not trying to speak as a radical or an activist or anything. It's just enough already. And we shouldn't be rewarding people for behavior such as this, a revolving door of bad decisions. So anyway, speaking of Gary Gill, changing the subject slightly, but not changing the faces. So, you know, I talked to you last week. I had Leonard Lowe on and his attorney, Paul Horan, regarding the Lala Milo Hawaiian Homes Development Program over there. Remember that name now, Gary Gill. Okay? So, I'm always thinking there's hope in every human being's heart, that somewhere down the line, I don't care what it is, he'll just give in because he's a human being. And a heart is a very fragile and sensitive thing. So you keep working on it, you can penetrate. You know, it's not all Teflon coated, even if people behave in a fashion as they are, and suggesting they have no sensitivity to other humans or the environment. Well, I wrote Gary Gill, and I basically shared with him, because what I have learned prior to last week's show and after, and still continuing on this Lala Milo Department of Hawaiian Homelands Development, I sent Mr. Gill this, and I said, aloha, Mr. Gill, and I sent him a copy of my webpage, and with hoping that in his heart as the director of the health department, he would see that lovely face of Miss Molly Waikiki, a 77-year-old lady. I don't give a damn who you are. Somewhere in that picture, a person who has waited, stand in line for 40 years, begging to get and hoping to get a lease finally get a lease, and she's 77 years old, worked all of her life, native Hawaiian, and in turn is greeted with the smell of fecal matter from her supposedly septic system, the individual wastewater system that was installed, designed by contractors for the Hawaiian homelands, and she was sold the house. You would think Gary Gill would see just that and understand and not be so technical and be so surly and official. So I just said, please call me regarding this matter posted, and I just hoping that he would read it and understand. I didn't want to tell him what he should do or shouldn't do, just as a courtesy. Well, he wrote me back. Aloha, Carol. It appears to me, now underscoring, it appears to me that the matter you wish to speak to me about is currently in litigation. Thus, it makes it very difficult for me to discuss the topic with you or in a public forum. If I am mistaken, please let me know the questions you would like me to address. I will try to provide the answers that are not restricted by our Attorney General. Thanks for your understanding. Well, that sounds like an innocent letter, and that's good. And he's just exercising, you know, mama's skirt tail. That's what he's doing, hiding behind it. Because, you see, while I do respect the fact that Leonard Lowe has a case, he filed this case against the health department and the Hawaiian homeland and others. But Leonard Lowe hadn't filed that case when he moved into that facility. He filed that case because Gary Gill and his staff is conspiring with the Hawaiian homelands, who knowingly had a system designed and installed that is illegal and non-conforming to HAR, Hawaii Administrative Rules 1162. Clear, no doubt about it. I read the law on air, and it's no problem. And I read you the emails that came before Leonard Lowe's complaint. Now, what I would want to do is talk to Gary Gill and say, Gary, Mr. Gill, you being the regulatory body, not any details of the case, because I'm pretty well familiar with that. I just wanted to ask him, Mr. Gill, and I'll ask on air now, why did you not prosecute the DHHL? Why did you not take your responsibility to heart and do what you're supposed to do, regulate and in turn you didn't do that? So now you write me back and says it appears that, what the heck does appears mean? I was very specific. Mali Waikiki does not have a legal case against the state health department, but you see how Gary Gill is. He's a man's man, not the people's man. So, there are some 30 other facilities or homes in that area or properties that have these non-conforming, illegal IWS systems. You see, individual wastewater systems. That is just a septic tank, basically, we'll call it that. These are not my words and my opinions. Gary Gill's office said, and I read to you last week, telling them that they authorized it, then they revoked it or rescinded the authorization because it does not comply. Mr. Gill, you could have talked to me about that portion of it and never even talking about Leonard Lowe's. But you see what it is, it's a big lie, because while I and other members of the public are required to file written formal requests or call ROI. You call them up now, they've got into the business of, well, can't talk about that right now. What you need to do, you can't even ask them a question. You need to do is send us a request, a formal request in writing, and what we'll do is look at it, and by the way, we have 10 days to respond to you. I know, no problem. I'm not taking any issue with that. But here's the problem. They, on the other hand, know they either will not respond to you or if they respond to you, it's by telephone or it's by email in a real scattergory fashion. They know, or should know, and through their training, that if you decide that you will not release certain documents, you must inform the requester formally. Because the requester, even though you may think, Mr. Gill, that we do not have a right to those documents, that is merely your opinion, because it is the OIP, or the courts, who can make the final decision. So therefore, when you require us to, or me, or others, to file it in writing, that request formally, then you should have the same responsibility in responding back in writing, so that it'll be clear, because there's a thing called due process. And that means that when I file and you think that something appears to you that it's under litigation, there's no, I looked at OIP and I don't see a single exemption rule that says that you don't have to give me any records if something appears to you to be covered by. You have to be specific. So you know, when you're not specific, you're just stringing the public along. So there are 30 other properties. The health department under Gary Gill and Neil Abercrombie knowingly, because they wrote the email, the health department did, they know and have stated to Mr. Lowe, and I have those documents, so I don't really need any more on Leonard Lowe's. I know when someone's getting screwed. I don't need a book or a library. One document is sufficient. When a regulatory body, such as the Department of Health, stand by and allow its sister agency or any other agency to break the law, to violate the law, does nothing but drag its feet, and then when a party who is being impacted, that they're, the health department is supposed to be protecting from these wrongful practices of environmental degradation and health concerns and health risks, when you stand by and you play tag team, because this is your sister agency, the DHHL, imagine trying to fight that system, and you let, knowingly allow the DHHL to extort, because you wrote the DHHL and said the systems that you've put in place is illegal and non-conforming, period. You also told them that the ratio, and because you didn't want to talk to me about Mr. Leonard Lowe's, I just show you, we don't imagine the world waiting on you to figure out if something appears or it's reality or not. I don't know. But imagine, I'm going to just read so the listeners out there can know what you're about, and this Neil Abercrombie and this whole game, and that's what it is, with people at the end of it receiving the brunt of the problem. This is a letter to Sandra Fun, dated January 26, 2012. Subject, Sandra Fun is the Administrator of Land Development Division. And this is where I talk about the extortion, and I'm not shy of saying that, because I know that it's wrong what is taking place. The Department of Health sent a letter dated June 16th, and she is the Administrator of the Land Division, Development Division of the Hawaiian Homes, Sandra Fun, on the Big Island. And it states, it's about Leonard Lowe's property. This is one. Now, I have about 17 of these for 17 properties. So I wanted to talk to Mr. Gill about the 17 and the other 30, not Mr. Lowe's, because I already have Mr. Lowe's records. The Department of Health sent a letter dated June 16, 2011 to your engineer regarding the seepage pit for the subject IWS, as mentioned in the letter. We were unable to issue an approval to use letter for the IWS due to our concerns regarding sizing of the installed seepage pit. Now, this is before Leonard Lowe filed his lawsuit. They're writing to the state Hawaiian Homes tell them they have concerns. And it goes on, the seepage pit currently does not meet our Chapter 1162 Hawaii Administrative Rules minimum absorption area required for a three-bedroom dwelling with a percolation, and listen to this now, with a percolation rate of 19.2 minutes an inch. The absorption area of the seepage pit provided for the subject IWS is only 75.65 square feet. We are concerned that the seepage pit is undersized by 542 square feet. Therefore, we cannot approve the use of the subject IWS until this issue is resolved. This is Gary Gill's office telling the DHHL that what they have installed is illegal. We understand that there is an issue about the current setback location, aerobic unit, and compliance with the state plumbing code. Please be informed that the state plumbing code only applies to the state building and not the privately owned buildings. The location of the aerobic treatment unit complies with 1162 HAR. Now, the health department is doing its job. It's reminding its sister agency that they have done something illegal and they need to correct it. And they prescribed what the corrections have to be. So, they then go on to say, our records indicate that we approved of revised IWS plans for the subject property, which calls out for a deeper seepage pit. Within 14 days of receipt of this letter, please provide us with the construction schedule for the installation. Now, let me tell you, the health department didn't take any action against the DHHL. They are required to take some action, notice of violation or something. They took no action, and then they allowed allowed DHHL to then tell Leonard Lowe that if he does not sign a waiver and agreed in the settlement agreement after he had filed a lawsuit, they wouldn't be putting it in. That's none of DOH's business. DOH is a regulatory body, and it should have immediately taken legal action against DHHL, and that would have prevented Mr. Lowe possibly from having to file, because they would have followed the prescribed solution and fixed it. You follow? So imagine, now you see why you get such letters and emails and response from Gary Gill, because it appears to be, you know, well, it also appears to be other things, and we're going to try to call it what it is, to be honest with you. But this is, again, a government agency that's completely out of control. They don't bring Gary Gill back because he is masterful in resolving things. He's masterful in masking and lying and running interference. So, I filed this request, formal request, with the DOH wastewater branch. And here's what I'm told by Marshall Lum, the acting chief of the wastewater branch. Well, you know that this thing is under litigation. Yeah, I know. I know that Leonard Lowe has in that housing complex, but there are 30-some others, and I want those records. They're not under. Okay, well, I need to check. I didn't hear anything. Well, Marshall, I called him up. Do you have any records for me available? Oh, you know, my attorney general told me that she didn't really have a problem with it, but I should call the DHHL's attorney general and ask that attorney general if they have a problem with me releasing these records to you. Oh, okay. Later. Well, what did the attorney say this time? They said that, okay, you can have these records, but you must have a letter signed by each individual because it's private information to sign and waiving their rights or giving you the right to receive these documents. No problem. Done. 10 minutes later, I have signed letters. I sent them in. No response. I call back. What happened? Well, they say they got to look at it, and they don't really know if you can't get them. But wait, I just did three things that you've asked me to do, and now it's... So that's why I say it's conspiracy, because if the DHHL, if I wrote them and asked them for records, they should consult their attorney general if they like to, because they are liars and cheats too, as I've learned when it comes to being honest with the public. So there's no way and no reason that the health department should be working in concert to determine either the records I'm requesting is releasable. If they're not, then give me a formal letter so I can go off to court and file an action appealing that. But this whole process, and I share that with you, hoping that you can understand and the hardship that Leonard Lowe is experiencing because of this tag team of extortionists led by Gary Gill and Jovi Masagatani and the head playmakers, Neil Abercrombie. This is all happening under his watch, so I don't know who we're going to vote for, but I can tell you what. I walk in that thing, I'm going to think I'm at Vegas pulling the one-armed bandit, man. I'm hoping I see everything but Neil Abercrombie's face next time. Because we've witnessed some atrocious behavior, illegal behavior. You find this kind of behavior out on the streets where people extort people. People play tag team and lie to people and deprive them and trick them and cajole them and badger them out of what is rightfully theirs. So I'm not mad. I'm happy that I can have a track record and documents. So I just love... It's such a brilliant statement on the part of... It speaks tons. I'm going to cherish this letter to say it appears to me that the matter... In a grown-up's world, when a grown-up write you and ask you specifics, I don't want to be debating and talking about appearances. I want specifics. Because this is a process that I have rights. And I want to experience those rights to be able to appeal. So don't tell me what appear to be. But anyway, we'll talk to you next week, and hopefully some of this will cease. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for joining.
Heaven, hear me now. I'm lost without a cause. After giving it my all, winter storms have come and darkened my sun. After all that I've been through, who on earth can I turn to? I look to you, I look to you. After all my strength is gone, in you I can be strong. I look to
this
you.
Has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.